Hey, Mercedes, turn the music up.
New Mercedes AMG SL. The storm is reborn.
You're now listening to the world famous Change Your Mind.
Change Your Mind.
Change Your Life.
Change Your Life.
Podcast. Broadcasting worldwide with your host, Robert Paisola. Ladies and gentlemen, give way for Robert Paisola. Broadcasting on 107.1 on the Man Cave Podcasting Network and beaming worldwide on the Spectavision Satellite Radio Network live from Las Vegas. Today's episode is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, featuring sleek luxury and pure elegance. Visit your local Mercedes-Benz dealer today and take advantage of exceptional deals for 2022. Bringing you the top news and guests from around the globe on finance, credit, life, or just how to fix that dent in your pocketbook from COVID-19. It's Robert Paisola.
All right, we are live. And that, in all the fullness of that word, we are live. And we're grateful to be alive. And I'm just so happy. I'm always happy to be here with my buddies, my partners in crime and in goodness. And that's John Wyrow and Rick Olson. So before I introduce my guest, which I can't wait to do that as well, jumping at the bit to talk with Robert, but John and Rick, would you give a greeting to the audience and just welcome us into your homes? Rick first.
All right, thank you. Crime and goodness, never heard those put together before, Joe, but we'll run with that. Anyway, always about like the best hour of my week when I'm hanging out with you guys. We're doing this, meeting fascinating people, and tonight is going to be exceptional. I can't wait to have a great conversation with Robert.
Thank you. Super, super excited to be here as well. I'm sitting here in my basement in Michigan, and I've already had dinner and put my daughter to bed, and you all haven't even had your haven't even had time to wind down after work yet. So very, very excited to dig in. I agree. This is just a lovely time every time we get together. Really excited to dig in with you, Robert.
Thank you.
Yeah. So with the modern technology, we've got Southern California, Michigan, Wisconsin, and now Robert in his place in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's like we're all in one living room, one digital living room. And we're just going to have a conversation and invite all of our listeners to join in and just enjoy the ride and glean whatever wisdom fits in your context. So I'm a big guy who talks about content and context. We're going to deliver great content. And we're going to invite you as a listener to grab the content that fits your context and to customize it to your workplace environment. But it really is our hope. It's our intent. It is our mission to create stronger leaders and better workplace culture just through these conversations and learning from each other. And so with that, I just want to say welcome Robert Paisola, CEO and president of Western Investments Capital or Western Capital Investments.
Western Capital International. You know, Mojo, thank you so much. And I want to tell you, it is a true pleasure to be here. I know we've been trying to line this up for a while. And just the passion that your team brings to the game of leadership, management, and development is so amazing. You see, it wasn't but 10 years ago when that was a novel idea. Managers would go to work and submit a resume, and maybe they'd do like my dad and get a 30-year watch. But you know what? Things have changed. And what we started doing, and I just to give you a background, if you have any questions of all of my information, newspaper articles, everything you want to know, just go to robertpaisola.com. It's right on the screen right there, and you can see it. But we learned that people spend a certain amount of time at work, and when they're at their job, sometimes they feel like they have the shackles of death on them. Now, what is that?
that's the shackle of, well, Rob, I love what you do, but what if I can't, what if I say something and somebody doesn't like it and I lose my job and I can't pay my light bill next month, or I can't pay my home bill. You see, these are real issues and they're still happening. These are still issues. I think COVID has really opened up the eyes of a lot of the people that are experts in this field, because you know what? There's a lot of empty office space in Los Angeles, New York, and Salt Lake City. There is, you know, and we are learning that people are now making the decision to have a better quality of life versus making $300,000 to $400,000 a year as a 30-year-old.
Okay. Yeah, you know? So let me jump in there, Robert. You're right on it. Yeah. So before we dive too deep, I just want people to know that Robert's become my friend through an app called Wisdom, which is a social audio app. He was experimenting in the app, and I'd only been in it for maybe a month or so, and I'm walking down the street, I'm walking my dog, and I'm just listening, swiping through talks, and I hear Robert's voice, which is mesmerizing. He's got this amazingly authoritative and yet warm voice, and I'm mesmerized, like, who is this guy? I've never met him before. And I could tell he was kind of like, okay, I'm new to this app, I'm not quite sure how it works, and I just jump in. I'm like, I want to make a new friend, right? So I go, hey, Robert, I'm Joe. I'm maybe a month ahead of you on this app, but let me walk you through the controls and I'll tell you how it works. And so I just gave him little tips and tricks and kind of gave him a tutorial on how Wisdom works. Well, that just sparked a brand new friendship. And since then, we've gone from really surface level conversation to really deep conversations about things that we're both passionate about. And it fits right into the 3-Gen model. And so I'm going to pass this over to John right now, because Robert, you touched right on one of John's passions with the last thing you said. So John, I want you to dive deep in what you love and what you're passionate about right there.
Yeah, thank you. You know me, I was chomping at the bit to say something because you're dancing around the topic of psychological safety, which to me is very, very prevalent in the world of emotional intelligence. And that's really my passion, at least the base of a lot of my passion on how to accomplish a lot of these things in the world of becoming a better leader, not just of a work group, but a better leader of your family, a better leader in community, a better leader of yourself through your day-to-day life. I'm very intrigued. What got you into that world? Where did you start, Robert, and really understanding that that's the ticket of what this world needs right now?
You know what? I grew up in a place called Newark, Ohio, and I went to college at age 16 on a full scholarship to Brigham Young University. And when I was there, I started a company. And it got bigger and bigger. And I didn't know what I was doing. All I knew is I went from 5 employees to 10 employees to finally we had 300 employees and a call center back in Ohio and one in Utah. And all of a sudden, Household Bank said, we want to buy what you've created. I'm like, really? Okay. And it was a financial-based call center. It was a debt collection call center. And I learned a lot, because I was very and am very good at what I do. But sometimes there has to be a little bit of peace involved in what you do. You know, you can't have that vicious go at it all the time and just go for the dollar. So once I learned that, and probably about 15 years ago, I began to focus on the passion that I have of building organizations, building companies, building and analyzing, not just the spreadsheets and the numbers, although we do that. Just like all of us here, we're all trained as analysts to do that. But we also will sit down and say, you know what? This is the best long-term play for your company. Your father gave you a $10 million company or a $20 million company, and we're going to help you. So with our help, the group's help, we're going to make you fabulously financially independent if you follow what we do. Now, so many kids I saw were getting these companies, and they were destroying the opportunities that they were given, you know, even if it was a farm. But from what Rick Olson talks about, that magic and the passion of the creator mentality of sticking with it and going at it, we stand firm on that. And you know what? Just like with Rick, our clients I don't even think they even call. Honestly, I'd love to tell the story, Mojo, if I can, about this morning. Please. This is a real story that happened today. I woke up this morning because I had to go to the dentist because I had some tooth work, which is why I'm in a sweatshirt right now, right? And I called Mojo and I said, Mojo, what do you say we go live in 10 minutes? He goes, okay. Not one time did he ever say what's it about or anything, but that recording is perhaps one of the most absolute treasures that I've ever created with Mojo because of what happened during that. And I'll leave that to our listeners. And actually, we'll go ahead and link it down here for you to listen to it. But magic happened because people stood up and said, you know what? This is what we deserve. And Rick, I'm sure you've seen that before, where your clients, they get comfortable with you, don't they, Rick?
Absolutely.
They know you're there for them. They know that you're not there just to come in and show up and get a check and leave.
One of the things I've talked to Joe and John a lot about is just the mission and the philosophy of speaking and consulting. And it was my uncle that got me on the right track because he was an outstanding speaker. He had a nationwide radio program. He was fabulous. I was 22 and just getting started. And he said, Rick, what's the purpose of speaking? Interesting question. Never thought about it. I just did it. I just, you know, you get up and you speak and I never thought about it. And I fumbled and I came up with a really poor answer. And he said, here's what I think the purpose of speaking is. He said, I believe the purpose of speaking is not to impress people, but it's to draw greatness out of people. And the moment he said that, everything came alive inside of me. And I go, you know what? That is going to be my mission statement for the rest of my life. And if you go to my website today, it is my mission statement.
It is.
All the time. I'm not here to impress you.
Ooh, I just get so passionate because you realize the people that you're dealing with, the people that lean on us for advice or whatever it is, the passion's inside them. They have the answers to their questions, don't they, Rick?
They do.
They know what they need to do. But yeah. Sometimes it just takes that little bit of a pinprick to say, welcome. We invite you to create change in your world. And it's okay because we're going to be there to help you.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
It is the best to watch something come alive in them that they realize they can be a builder of people. They can do that. They don't just have to be a functional maintainer of an office, but they can be a builder of people. And that's incredibly gratifying. And we go deep into the whole coaching thing. And it's just a few months later that I tell him, this is the best part of my job. This is my favorite part of my job. Of all the things I do, nothing comes close to what this is like when the lights come on for these people.
And you know what's interesting, and I'm not trying to take the show and move it anyway, but it is amazing because you know what? When I was at Trump, I was the trainer who trained the coaches how to coach. I was the trainer that trained the mentors who for $25,000 would get on an airplane and go spend 6 days with you or 5 days with you at your location and dig into your finances and dig into your marital life. I don't care. I don't care what it was. We would fix it, whatever it was. And you know what? We prospered at that. And we prospered greatly, you know. And people saw that. Because I think that I was talking to Mojo the other day, and whenever you're giving of good deeds, you cannot help but to receive back. Do you see how maybe that works? So with pure passion and pure desire to serve, and I'm a very I believe in service so much. I'm LDS. I'm Mormon. Yep. You know, I come from Salt Lake City. I serve. I've done that my whole life. But by doing that, the results have been absolutely fantastic.
There's something very dynamic about giving, and there's just a principle about giving. If you give, your life is going to know abundance, and if you withhold, it'll lead you right toward poverty. Dynamic principle.
Yeah. So I'll jump in here and then I'll let John, you know, John's holding his tongue. So first of all, one of the things that Rick has taught me and John is that giving is living. This is one of his mantras, and I'm seeing it everywhere. And I think he's planted this great seed inside of me. This is a real big distinction for me, Robert. I'd love to hear what you think too. It's not giving to get. You stated very clearly that when you plant the seeds, you will receive the harvest. When you give, you will receive. But it's not the mentality I'm giving because of what I'm going to receive. It's the privilege to give. I get to give. I don't give to get. I get to give. And doing it out of that privilege, then the abundance does flow back. Because
I think we get to talk about this subject because every single one of us here, and if you're a business coach or you're a life coach in Switzerland and you're watching this right now, my friends, you've been blessed. And I will challenge you this. I will challenge you with this. You have not just been given a gift, but you have an obligation to share and bring others to their greatest level of success. You see, that's one thing we learned about the internet. There's a little few quirks in it. And we kind of figured out how to take a conversation like this that maybe only has 7,000 or 8,000 people watching right now and turn it into 500,000 people. Because people from all over the globe in 90 countries and in 4 different languages are sitting here watching us right now as we go live. And they sit there and it's so important because they have the same questions, whether it's in Russia or it's in South America. They just want to know what's going to work for them and their families. And you know what? That CEO who sits at his desk, and as you walk in, because he's so burly and he's at his desk and he's like, I made $8 million last year. You know what the first question I ask is? What happened? You only brought in $8 million? why didn't we hit 10? You see, giving them the challenge and showing them that it's okay to go, you know, and that's what Rick Olson does. That's what Rick Olson does. And that's why his clients love him, as I've seen. Because I've done, as you know, when I started talking to you a while ago about this, that's what I saw. And the clients they value it so much because Rick Olson does not walk around in mince words.
So yeah, I want to hop in right on this too about the, you know, the giving and the getting and the value that's brought, right? So it's really easy to sit here and talk about how important it is to be, you know, to be focused on leadership and to be focused on culture and to create these environments that people can really flourish. And I always have to root it in the fact that, yes, it's great for employees. Yes, it's great for leaders. And yes, it's great for people like us because we have clients to work with, right? But it provides bottom line improvement. There are studies, several studies. Go to Gallup. Go to there's a book called Culture Trumps Everything by a guy. I always forget his name. His first name is Gustavo, and I always forget his last name. But that has a graph that shows how, you know, through the economic downturn back in 2007, 2008, that the organizations that were conscious about their leadership and conscious about their culture and conscious about all the stakeholders involved up and down the supply chain, those that made decisions that were win-win-win-win across the board and that built that strong, strong environment, they outperform the Fortune 500 companies. They outperformed and sustained long-term growth and profitability. So it's such a cool thing to be able to say, wait a second, you're telling me I can do, and my buddy Mark Sauter from GTP Associates, who is very kindred spirits with all of us, you know, he always talks about, this sounds like a bunch of kumbaya, and it is, but it's not, you know, it is, it feels great, it sounds great, but you are going to increase profitability. CEOs listening to this, it is worth your time to make a little bit of a pivot and start focusing on these things.
You know, and since you did mention CEOs, I know you're out there, and I know you're watching this right now, and I know you're a CEO of a company, and I know you're dealing with intellectual property issues, you're dealing with theft, you're dealing with cybersecurity, you're dealing with government regulation, you're dealing with a lot of issues. But I want to tell you something. This team has been assembled for a long time to take a lot of the work off of your plate and bring you back to normal. Now, let me explain to you, my friend, what that means. My friend, it is not normal to work 20 hours a day. Let me be clear. You need people to trust and delegate, and who will give you true, direct feedback, who have no fear of losing their job. And you know what? Your life, my friend, no matter how much money you're making, no matter what country we come and see you in, as a group, all four of us on a jet, or if we fly over one at a time, it doesn't matter to me. But as you bring us under your wingspan, I've had CEOs say, Rob, I've seen all your stuff. I'm meeting you at the airport, and we're going to go to a hotel, and we're going to have a talk, because we're going to discuss what's really going on, not the stuff I can talk about in my building. And you know what? That's the thing that you as a CEO and as a stakeholder in your company and as a fiduciary can use us to help you, because we can take a lot of those things off your plate, my friends, and we're here. So please, please, please understand, this is not a what-if game. You've got Rick Olson who has gone through and analyzed didactically just the details of a company and figured out exactly what it takes to be successful. Any accountant can give you pro forma statements. Guys, we're not accountants. We're not here to give you pro formas. We'll work with your accountants and we'll work with your attorneys. But at the end of the day, you're going to choose us over them, because you're going to see that we're going to bring the value to you, and we're able to verify and validate without a question the value and the return on investment of working with people like us. Why? For we are so few. I think that might sum it up. Rick?
Hey, Robert, let's go back to your story. You gave us the initial launch of Robert into business. You grew this company to 300. It got bought from you. What's your next step? What's your next evolution at that point?
You know, what happened is Household Bank made me an offer. I was sitting in my office and I was like, you're kidding. I said, okay, fly out and meet with me. They met with me. We made a deal. I stayed on for a year as a consultant. This also happened to be the time that Bitcoin, this is a secret, this is another little, well, gotcha, a little, I know. It's also the time that Bitcoin started coming out. And I had an employee who I trusted implicitly. And he said, Rob, why don't you take $200,000 of that money back in 2016 and put it into Bitcoin? I'm like, what's Bitcoin? And I was like, okay, well, you know what? I trust you. Okay. So what we did is trusted, and we've never sold one unit of our portfolio. Now, what do we do with it? We use that position of power to give back. Just exactly like John said. Exactly. It's exactly like John put the words right in my mouth. And you know what? We're being noticed for that. Because when you give from a selfless heart, people see it. People see it. And that's it. So I end up coming out to Las Vegas. I get another office building. I fill it up. I build another company. And I start doing everything with seminars. The same time with Rick. Seminars, books, tapes, coaching, mentoring. This is where the internet comes together, and you're doing email lists and creating online presence. Well, I'll tell you right now, guys, we are masters at creating online identities and profiles. Masters. Okay. There are some public speakers that we've worked with that have been speaking for years. Proctor Gallagher, a good friend of mine. I was involved in a movie called The Secret, and he just passed away. And so sad, but you know what? All of that intellectual property and data, and this is for my CEOs that are watching also, that is valuable data that will be able to keep you in the wealth region and be able to have long-term prosperity. And if you have a question, we'll talk about that probably in another episode. And we'll talk about how financial prosperity can be for something you did 5 years ago. But it really, really can. It's just knowing the formulas, and having the team to be able to do it. So I find myself where I'm traveling and I'm on stage. And I don't know if you guys remember or if our audience remembers, you get these little things in the mail. It says, come to this hotel and learn about real estate or learn about mobile homes. Or remember those things, guys?
Absolutely. Well,
I would be one of the guys that would be standing there, and I would be the guy that would be like, you know, now that you've spent 3 days with me, why don't you come spend 5 days and do it for $25,000 and come to Los Angeles and let's really, really make a dent. Yeah, they not only paid the $25,000, but they also, a lot of times, paid tips and said, here's an extra 10 grand for you. I had no idea what I was getting. I can't find one of you. You know, where do you classify yourself? So I became a steward of the knowledge, and I gave back to those clients that were seeing a difference in their life. Maybe they're ready to transition into retirement. Maybe they don't want to go to the office every day for 8 hours a day, but they just have a tough time trusting. Maybe I'm sure you could speak great to that, Rick, you know?
Yep. You know, to me, the leaders that really make a difference, their head works really well and their heart works really well. And one of the things that I'm enjoying about this very much is it's obvious that your head is working extremely well. But you bring along this heart component. That's a very powerful thing. John Maxwell said, you won't get their head until you get their heart. You have to get their heart first. And that just comes through everything that you're saying, that you're conveying to us. It's the heart part of it. And that's what we've done at True Gen. We've done our best to touch people's hearts. And you touch their heart, and here comes the head. They follow right along. So I love that. I love that about your approach. And I see leaders, their head works, but their heart doesn't. Every once in a while, their heart works, their head not so much. But when they're together, it's a killer combination.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's prophetic. It's true. And the result is, as you give, you get.
You get to have
a roof over your head.
Yes.
You get to have a car that you get to drive. You get to go through 2 years of COVID without maybe having an income, still being okay.
Right.
You get the ability to know who you truly are. And you know what? You also get a Rolodex of people, like the people you're looking at on this stage, to call up and say, you know what, Rob? I just don't get it today. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. I just don't get it. What do you think? Something that innocuous, but boy, what a difference it makes, huh, Rick?
It does. Another thing you get the privilege of laying down at night and just feeling really good about how you use your day and what you did, and lives that were impacted, people that are better because of your whole other-centered approach. You're going to sleep well at night, and that's worth a lot too.
Yeah. John, okay. I'm interested. I'd like to ask John a question. John, have you been in the Clubhouse realm? Have you been on Clubhouse?
I have.
It's kind of toxic lately, I think. And I think there's a lot of people there that are looking for exactly what we're discussing right now, because it just hit me. But they don't have these discussions because it would be a big competition between you and you and you and you and you and you. So why would I want to give away my secrets? So no. We're going to have 2,000 people just sitting in the room arguing. How is that morally right, John?
Well, first question I have for you is, what's a Rolodex? Just kidding.
Okay.
Just kidding. Hey, I'm the millennial of the 3-gen here. I have
to hope. There you go.
Obsolete as a phone book, right? You know what? I'll be honest with you. You know, being new in this world, right? Rick mentoring us and Joe mentoring me and bringing me into this consulting world. I'm testing the waters, or I'm not exactly sure where I fit as a millennial trying to coach other millennials, trying to coach people older than me. And this is really ironic because it was you, Robert. It was the conversation I listened to between you and Joe earlier today. And you kept saying, like, you know, we're in this together. We're this team. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, you know, I work with Joe a lot, and I've not even met Robert yet, but, you know, and it just dawned on me that what you just said, there's no need for competition here. We are to lock arms. It is time. It is time to lock arms, everybody in this industry, not only for two reasons. One, my goodness, what a stressful couple of years we've had, right? And people are hungry for this, a stress release really is what they're hungry for. Speaking of hunger, let's talk about millennials. You know, we're notorious, or maybe notorious isn't quite the right word, but we're well known for being hungry for purpose and for meaning. And we want to contribute, and we don't want this top-down leadership. We want to be part of a team. And that's something that everybody, that at least, you know, all the experts that you look into and all the millennials that I know, and just not leave out the Gen Zs, we're really hungry for that type of stuff. So again, the fact of there's no need to hoard information. There's no need for us to sit here and be like, okay, I've got this secret sauce. Hey, Joe, maybe we shouldn't air this podcast because we're going to get some really cool stuff and we're going to change the world. And no, I think changing the world happens with a snowball. With a snowball effect, right? It's not just a bunch of people, a bunch of individual snowflakes, but let's lock arms together and let's make this world a better place. Let's do it together. Let's not keep secrets.
And you know what? You're absolutely right, because especially when you're talking about the age of the internet, do you realize this conversation is probably going to be viewed, by the time we get done syndicating through our studios here in Las Vegas, by about 500,000 people? 90 countries, 4 languages. What would that have taken, Rick, back in the day, for you to reach that number of people? That baffles the mind. I don't think
Robert's the only guy doing it back then, I think, was Billy Graham, and he just had one stadium after another, and that was
yeah. But now, using wisdom, using friendship, using our friends and understanding technology and understanding how to, I mean, I have to tell you guys, that conversation you're talking about today, we were on the call, and all of a sudden somebody who was a CEO of a company said, I don't know who you are, but I want you at my company. They sent $20,000. I don't know whether Maui Bojo told you. And I was like, what? at minute 30 of the conversation, I was like, what just happened? They had never even come to the room before, and 20,000, they didn't care. They just wanted me there then. They want us there now. Okay. So if that's real and that's really happening, and Gen Z wants it and Gen X wants it, they're going to love what we have to offer them, because you know what? They want it as bad as ever. They want somebody that's going to hold them and say, you know what? We got you, buddy. We got you. But you know what? Those conversations do take place. And there was not one absolute shred of ulterior motive at the beginning of that phone call. All it started with was, hey, let's just do a podcast. And now, 6 hours later, I just sent him a text, or sent him a message that he is live in. I know you're in Tokyo, and I know you're in France right now. You, under his name. Now, that's power. That's power in the internet game. Just so you understand that just to our clients around the world, one thing we specialize in when we analyze your business is, you have to realize, guys, that this is a digital economy. There's nothing you can do about it. Okay. So we have to get you so that you are found and that you bring value to your clients. Now, our team is set up to make that happen seamlessly. However, the minute that you push the go button, you can't turn it back, because we're like a bulldozer going at it, making you exactly what it is that you want. And that's the magic of today, you know? That's the magic of this thing we call the internet, which has its good sides and its bad sides. But magical, I still say that.
So Robert, one of the strengths, one of the awesome synergies of this team, this three-gen team, is that we are three different generations in the workplace. Rick is pushing up against retirement. He's the CEOs who are also on that cusp. John is a millennial, as he said, and so he's really trying to tap into this new workforce who are now at the cusp of taking leadership, significant leadership roles. How do they do that in a way that honors the past, but also takes them into a new future? And I'm like the middle management guy who's like, do I stay or do I go? So I'm gonna let each one of the guys ask you a question from their perspective, and I want you to respond as a CEO, which you are. How would you respond to these generational specific questions, which I think is also going to be helpful to the other CEOs that tune in and the other leaders that tune in? So
absolutely.
Let's start with Rick.
Good. Yeah, I am a boomer, and it's been a magical run, but I can see the kind of the end game kind of coming together here. And I deal with a lot of CEOs and a lot of leadership people who've had a fabulous run, but they're nearing the tape. And the question to me is always, how do you finish strong? How do you run through the tape? How do you leave an incredible legacy? How do you spend your last years and energy to have it be incredibly meaningful and impactful? And so I and other listeners who think those thoughts would love to hear any thoughts that you have on that.
I say this. The men that you're speaking of have done unimaginable things. They've created some of the biggest industries. They've created some of the biggest dynasties themselves. But sometimes they need to have a person who's been with them side by side, like Rick Olson, to say, you know what? I've got the team. I've got a team of people who are willing and able at all areas of the employees' chain, including stockholders, shareholders, attorneys, the whole group, the board, that are going to bring you the exact same value that I brought you, and they're going to uphold my legacy to the strongest standards that I put forth, because these people are the best of the best.
Excellent.
And I think that they would absolutely, they would, there'd be no question. There'd be no reason why they wouldn't, because they want that. They just want to make sure that they want to make sure that they're going to be taken care of.
Yes. Very good. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, my friend.
I'm going to work our way down the chain. So Robert's a 50-something who has established a good career. I have lots of expertise. I've got the education, but I feel like I'm sort of against a glass ceiling. There aren't many opportunities for advancement. There's not a lot of turnover. So I feel this angst inside of, should I stay or should I go, right? Because staying feels comfortable, and I really know what I'm doing here, and I'm respected for that. So going into the unknown, I feel like I have to start over, and who wants to start over in their 50s? However, I also feel the clock ticking, and if I'm going to create a legacy, I don't have a lot of time to do that. So do I want my legacy to be that I stayed in a comfortable spot until I retired with a little, or do I want to really shake things up and step into the unknown with the possibility that I can do with the last remaining, whatever God gives me on this earth, to expand my borders, to expand my influence, to increase, you know, become all that God's created me to be, and be rewarded for that, and then position myself for a retirement where I could still give, but even without having income. So what do you say to those people right in that crossroads?
You know what? I'm going to say this. There is no 30-year watch I'm sorry to tell you. But you know what? That whole middle management, you got to make that decision. Are you in or are you out? Because there are people like myself and John who are going viciously against the current to create the dynasty for our clients, right? And what it takes is someone in that position you're speaking of to get on our radar, so that we can put our arm around you and say, let me show you a few things. You see, that's the answer to that question. Because the days of just showing up and maybe doing your job, those are over. We learned that in COVID. It's over. We learned, otherwise, why would people be quitting $400,000 a year jobs at 28 years old? Primarily, for the exact same reason, John said his whole goal is to make an impact on the world and create a dynasty. How can you create a dynasty if you're locked in a cubicle? So, we as the experts train, motivate, develop, pursue, bring on the best, have symbiotic relationships, Mojo, like you and I have talked about. You can't break that. That's a guaranteed win, my friend.
I love that. Thank you. All right, John, your turn.
Yeah, I mean, just to hop on what you were saying already, though, I love the mentoring aspect you're going for. Find that mentor. It doesn't matter what age you are. Whether you're an executive coach, you could be a baby boomer on the way out. You can use a mentor, an executive coach. You could be in the middle management. Now, me, I've been searching hard. Sometimes you have to look hard for mentors, and I think we need to never give up on that and find that person who's willing to invest a little bit of their time into you. Luckily, I'm extremely fortunate to find a few people that'll do it for free. Sometimes not everyone can get that, but I love how you touched on that, because it is the relationships. One thing's become very apparent to me over the last couple few years is that building relationships and just really connecting with people and really trying to learn. We've all kind of touched on it already, you know, be truly engaged and interested. Be interested and not interesting. A TED talk I watched once, BINI, be interested, not interesting. Right.
That's right.
And sometimes it takes a lot of hard work. And sometimes when you're in the younger generation, like myself, you feel like you need to almost kind of puff your chest and try to like show, hey, look what I know. And, that does not serve anyone well, in my opinion. It is, seek to understand, ask the questions. You may not always like the answers. You might not always agree with the answers, but the more questions you ask, the more things you're going to be able to contemplate. So, okay, let's roll that into a question from a millennial perspective. What would you say, Robert, whether you're saying it from whether it's a message to CEOs looking to how to motivate millennials and younger generations, we don't just need to say millennials, but younger generations, or even a message directly to the younger generations, it seems we had already had this reputation for wanting more meaning, more purpose, more involvement. And now all of a sudden, the world is crazy. Political unrest, social unrest. There's war in Ukraine. There are there are all these things where I'm telling you, sometimes it's like, I just wanted to, what's the point of even going to work right now? Because there is just some crazy things we need to fix in this world, you know? And so how do we keep ourselves motivated? Speak to the employees that don't want to go out and start a consulting career. They don't want to go out and go against the grain, but they want to find meaning and purpose where they're currently working. How do we communicate with them? How do we keep them engaged? How do we get them to be better leaders of others and of themselves?
Excellent question, John. And the answer, I believe, is simple. Let them be them. Because what worked for you, what worked for me, when I had a $100 million business is not what works even 5-10 years later. Give you the opportunity that, you know what, if you need to go spend time, and I am absolutely fervent on this, people are so technologically locked up in the basement, sitting there on Zoom, sitting there talking to computers. When was the last time they saw their kids? When was the last time they saw their family? When was the last time they went outside? I have a mentor of mine named Dr. Rao, and he's a mentor for me, one of my mentors. And he says, Rob, every day I want you to have a technological break. At the end of the day, Zoom down, and then tomorrow, come back with full angst and ability, because no one can go 24 hours a day to just prove to be the man. Whenever a millennial comes to you and says, you know what, I have an idea, you as a CEO who might be 70, 80, 65, 70, you started the company, you've got 20 or 30 million in the bank, congratulations. I hope it's not fiat currency. But if you do, you need to listen to what these kids are saying, my friends, because I will tell you right now, this generation has so much power. Let me give you an example. Wall Street Bets was a group of people, a group of kids that said, you know what? Wall Street's not going to determine stock prices. We are. So they opened up a website, and one of their favorite things that they do in their entire world was play video games, right? GameStop. Everything Rick would look at and would be like, man, shut this thing down and close it up. These kids ran this thing to $300 when it was worth $2. And you know what? They did it viciously over the hedge funds. They did it with other companies. And you know what? You can't stop them. You cannot stop them. Listen very carefully. If you think you're going to stop the ability to have cryptocurrency be a national or an international trade of commerce, it's not going to happen. My friends, I have this one question for you. For what did the Federal Reserve Bank do to us on May 15th, 2020, at the beginning of COVID? They simply went in and reprinted money. Did they have any care for anybody of John's age, of Rick's age, of Rob's age, of Mojo's age? No. But they wanted a short-term solution. So what did that tell them, John, the people of your generation, who now, let's just talk reality, now find notices on their front door of their apartment that their rent's just gone up $1,000. That in order to qualify for an apartment in Palo Alto, you've got to make at least $200,000 or $300,000 just to even have bread in your freezer. That's the way it really, really is. These people, these kids, these absolutely amazing geniuses understand the power of communication. They understand the inflection of the human voice, and they can grasp large numbers of people. Look at George Floyd. Look what they did when they came together. And these people are fearless. So that is your audience. I, as a CEO, say, bring it on. My door is always open. Tell me what you think. What do you guys think we should do? Well, Rob, everybody at Google has lunch delivered every day, and they don't have to go home. Well, when did I owe you lunch? In my mind, I'm thinking, I owe you lunch? And I can have my dog is groomed during the day, and I have bicycles I can ride around, and I don't have a time to show up or a time to leave. I can do whatever I want. What? Okay. Before I respond, I have to understand where you're coming from. Because the analytical facts from Harvard University and Yale in their studies show that the matrix of income is so extremely higher because the people didn't have to worry about getting the dry cleaning picked up and worried about going and driving down to Taco Bell. I didn't go to Taco Bell. They work for Google. But you know what I'm saying, my friends. You see, so that's why they did that. They didn't do it out of a mistake. It wasn't done. Now they're trying to recoup and bring everybody back in, and they're getting a lot of force back, you see. But I understand. But you know what they're doing now? 4 days a week, 8 hours a day. Straight up, give me 100%. And they're making more money right now. The balance sheets are proving they're making more money. John, have you heard about that?
Oh, I have. Yeah, going to the 4 day work week. Yeah, 100%. And that's been a huge shift for the last, at least 10 years or so of you hear this whole, it used to be, I'm going to go to an interview and tell you what I can do for your company. Now it's you go to an interview and say, what can you do for me? What do you have for me? And that's been extremely frustrating for a lot of people. And that's where I think the millennials and the younger generations get this bad reputation of like arrogance and entitlement and things like that. But the point is, you're right. I mean, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, it's happening. It's happening by the largest group of people in the workforce right now. By far, we've far surpassed the boomers by now. So it's you keep up or you're going to be left behind.
And to go in complete circle, as Rick was mentioning about Disney books, I guarantee you, Rick, the problems that occurred at Disney a very recent while ago were not caused by people that have been there for 30 years.
This is the Change Your Mind, Change Your Life podcast. And this is your host, Robert Paisola.
For 30 years. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
It's not, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's the Electric Light Parade. That is no longer acceptable. Do we have to agree as a CEO? No. I just have to understand that you think differently, and I agree. Go at it, buddy. Do your best. Recreate the wheel for me.
You know, there's a book that I've enjoyed and have had a lot of my baby boomer friends read, and it's simply called "You Raised Us, Now Work With Us," and it has excellent insights on the heart and the mindset of the young employee. And if the young employee happened to watch mom and dad get bounced out of the workplace at 55, the young employee says, "I will never do what my mom and dad did and give my heart and soul to the company like my dad did. That really didn't work out very well for him. So I'm going to take a different approach." And it really is an excellent book on understanding the heart and mind of the younger worker and what kind of things did shape their thoughts.
I'd like to jump in here. We've got about 9 minutes or 8 minutes left here. And Robert, you already know this, but I just want to say for the audience that one of the highest values, some of the highest values that we hold as 3Gen as consultants and leaders development is compassion and empathy from the leader, which is, it's emotional intelligence, but it really comes down to empathy and compassion. And I want you to speak, that sounds like soft skills. It's woo woo. It's not measurable. All the things that people push back against it because, you know, they want people who are really intelligent and can do their jobs really well. But what would you as a CEO say about the importance, and maybe even you could put it, if you're going to hire somebody who's got lots of empathy and compassion versus somebody who knows your business inside and out but doesn't have much of that, who do you choose and why?
There's only one answer. Empathy and compassion. 20 years ago, it might have been a different answer. Right now, I want somebody who understands why 40% of my labor force is aggregated over here and is going to talk to me and work with me and show me. I want somebody who's going to be empathetic towards their individual feelings, because maybe they don't align with our values, but these are the people for which have chosen to dedicate themselves to us. So there's a lot of smart people, my friend Mojo. There's a lot of smart people make a lot of dumb decisions. And I say this, listen. Just listen to what your people have to say. Don't automatically shut it down. Don't say that's not like the way we used to do it in the old days. Say, you know what? Rick Olson's been here for 20 years. I'm one of Rick's boys. Okay, guys, we're all going to have a steak dinner at the steakhouse, and we're going to nail this down, and we're going to come up with a brand new formula for whatever it is the senior management team wants, and it'll happen in about 10% of the time, because people are not sandbagging. Let me say that again. People are not sandbagging in John's world. They know how to fix it and to make things happen very quickly. And if they don't, they know how to make the phone call to get it done. That's reality. And then you let them... go ahead. Yeah.
I just said I love that. No, I love it. Yeah, that's excellent.
You know, one of the guys from my generation, Tom Peters, said our number one failure in business is to not tap the creativity of our employees. And proceed at your own risk if you choose not to tap the creativity of your own employees.
Well, I think you run a huge risk, because if you don't, there's somebody else out there.
Right.
There's somebody else out there that's going to snap them up. And you know what? This group of people is bordering on extreme brilliance. That's why this company was formed, because of the passion, the power, and the brilliance, and the absolute documented success. You see, it's not a question of maybe we know what we're doing, or maybe we're going to get it okay, we're going to do okay. It's because we've figured out the Rubik's Cube, my friends. And that's what draws me so close to your goals, to what you're doing. Because for there is a whole nother group of people who work in John's world, John's friends. Imagine how many people are on John's phone that John hasn't reached out to yet in his business that he could if he had the desire, but nobody's asked him to, have they? It's kind of interesting. Am I right, John?
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a whole world to be tapped into out there. A lot of people feeling this way and not even almost not even knowing what they're looking for, in a sense, or what's needed. You know, I've been talking a lot lately about civility in the workplace is a big issue of civility out there. And I mean, my personal quick little philosophy on that is, well, we're sitting here watching our parents, you know, the younger generations are watching our parents. We're watching each other just be ruthless to each other on social media, and just no compassion, no tolerance for any sort of opinion other than your own. And then when that's the social environment you've lived in for 2 years, and or the social environment you've grown up in, think about kids that are just getting out of college right now, just entering the workforce. They know the last 2 years of just complete incivility. And now, and I've heard CEOs talk about this already, now in the workplace, they come out, and if they disagree, they're at each other, and it is, that's just the way it's supposed to be, right? And I think, kind of to your point, I think there's a lot of people that don't even realize that that's not how you're supposed to be, and that these potentially toxic work environments, or not even toxic work environments, but just more like complacent work environments, those that aren't tapping into this stuff and really digging in. I think there's a lot of people out there kind of drifting and not even realizing the direction that they need. You know, so how do we get in front of those people and let them, help them understand that?
We have about 2.5 minutes left, and let me tell you a real short story. right now we're around Memorial Day in the year 2020 in the United States. It was known that the airlines, specifically Southwest, Spirit, and Frontier, would be hijacked by their own employees. And they canceled 3,000 flights because of weather, employees that didn't show up. Now, what is this? This is an employee call saying, hello, I'm here. Listen to me. You just lost $100 million. John's group made that statement. And you know what? It doesn't matter what I do in the advance to try to prepare for that. If I let that happen, it did happen. And it's chaos right now. Just turn on NBC, you know? And that's real. And that's why I give so much power to this group of people.
So last minute, Rick and John, if you have any parting words and or statements, and then I'll have turn it back to Robert for the last word.
Well, Robert, it's been fantastic spending the evening with you. Thank you for just jumping in like we've been hanging together for years and years. Just instant rapport, but a world of admiration for the path that you've chosen, the motive that drove you to do what you did. You've helped the three of us immensely tonight, and we can't thank you enough. And we're going to be exposing our world to you as much as we possibly can. And so anyway, we thank you and look forward to a long, wonderful relationship with you as we move forward.
Thank you.
So it looks like John's internet went out, and thankfully it's right at the last minute here. But so on behalf of John and Rick and I, Robert, and just as your new friend that has gone deep really quickly, I want to thank you. I want to thank God for arranging that, because there is a kindred spirit. There is a synergy here, which is rare, and it's wonderful. It's a huge blessing. And I fully believe that, you know, there's divine intervention going on here all around us. If we just open our eyes to see it, not just for us who say we're believers, it's available to everybody. It's just that most people aren't looking for it. So you don't find it if you're not looking for it. And so I just want to say thank you for what you're doing, what you're saying, how you're modeling it, how you're using the information and the power of technology to influence the world, to make it a better place, your commitment to humanity, your commitment to the workforce, and your commitment. I mean, within seconds, you knit your heart together with ours, and you're making us a team when we're just introducing you. And it's fabulous. It's wonderful. And I want to hand it to John before you sign off, Robert, because John just came back in on the number.
Don't know what we're saying here, but if we're wrapping up, it's been an absolute pleasure. Robert. Yeah, sorry, you lost me for a second. That was a hilarious little chaotic moment that I'll tell you about another time. But thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I really hope to connect you with you more. It's been great.
Robert, parting words before we sign off.
My friends, my name is Robert Pezzel, and I'm the CEO and president of Western Capital International. We're a financial management firm. You can find us online. Email me, robert@westerncapitalinvestments.com. You can reach us toll-free in the United States by dialing 1-800-373-8913. To our listeners around the globe, use the USA prefix. Please do that. We have a lot of people trying to get in from other countries. And then dial 702-219-3624. We have a group of people in Las Vegas that will answer your phone calls. We can accept your texts at 702-219-3624. Finally, if you simply take my name, you see right here, Robert Pizzola, put a .com beside it, and enjoy the dig, because it'll take you very, very far down a rabbit hole. I did a TV show for NBC last week, and it was, I didn't have as much fun, but it'll show you what we did, and it was amazing. So God bless you, my friends, and it is a true, true pleasure. Mojo, as always, you're the absolute best. You're an amazing, amazing man of God, and I thank you for that, my friend.
Well, thank you. All right. So on behalf of the 3Gen team, what a fabulous hour. I know I've received a ton, and I just it's one of the great things that, as we said earlier in this podcast, when you get to give, then you receive even more, and that's a principle that you can bank on, right? So on behalf of Rick Olson, John Weirup, Joe McCarthy, and our new friend Robert Pizzola, grace and peace and light to all of you. Keep on keeping the faith, and don't let go. Peace out.
You've been listening to the world famous Change Your Mind,
Change Your Mind,
Change Your Life podcast. We hope we've helped you get on the road to do both. Make sure to like, rate, and review the show. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hook up with us on Facebook, Clubhouse, Twitter, Spotify, Apple Podcasting, Google Podcasting, and Instagram at Rob_Pizzola. Reach out to us by phone at 1-800-373-8913 and send your questions or comments to VIP@westerncapitalmedia.com. Until next time, this has been the world famous Change Your Mind, Change Your Life podcast.